What is going on, Jet fans? I am Matt O'Leary, back with another episode of Just Jets. In today's episode, episode 213, we'll be getting into the remaining things the Jets need to do in free agency. Zach Wilson is once again linked to the Rams, and I don't really get it. And we will get into your voicemails. But one more thing before we get into the voicemails, too. Almost fair. We got to talk about why Jet fans are a very, very special group. I am excited for this episode. Another week down in free agency, the Jets made a pretty big move since the last time we spoke. They signed Tyron Smith to a new contract. That is something that everyone should be excited about on a one-year deal, prove-it deal for Tyron Smith. Shoring up left tackle, and we're going to get into all that. Before we really hop into it, I wanted to talk about the shirt that I'm rocking, actually. Let me move over the mic and turn it so you could see it. It's from our guy you might know, Tyson Roush from Let's Talk Jets. And, well, he gave me this shirt, or I purchased this shirt. It's okay to not be okay, is what it says. But why does it say it's okay to not be okay? Well, every year Tyson does a charity event. He does a run supporting mental health. And this year on March 22nd to March 24th, he's going to be attempting a much harder version of the David Goggins Challenge to raise money for mental health awareness and to support our veterans. It's 5 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. He has a link to buy the T-shirt, which I purchased to help support. I will link that in the description as well as a GoFundMe. And I think it's a really great cause. So it's something that I wanted to call out and talk about on my show. I've supported Tyson for a few years in this. Tyson's one of the, we're very lucky in the Jets community to have a lot of awesome people. And Tyson definitely fits that bill. I've met him a few times. We got together at a Shinedown concert last year. I don't think there's a bigger Shinedown fan than Tyson. So shout out to him for doing this. It's really awesome. And the shirt rings true. So for anyone watching this, if maybe you are struggling with some mental health issues, just know that you are not alone. I myself am someone who struggle with mental health issues at times. I've been open about it. I've talked about it before, but it's not doing it for, you know, sympathy reasons. I just want, you know, you at home, if you're listening to this and you're just, you know, feeling alone, that that's not the case, that there are other people out there who are dealing with some of the same issues. Anxiety is a really big one for me that I've struggled with for years. You know, therapy really helps. Talking with people really helps. So if you are one of those people, please reach out to someone. You can reach out to me as well. I'll gladly talk with you. And yeah, just wanted to again call that out because one, it's a great cause from Tyson. But number two, it's a cause that, you know, that I believe in. And it's something that needs to be talked about more. Mental health, especially like men's mental health too. Men do a really bad job of communicating sometimes, most times, let's be honest. And that's something that has to change. And I think opening up the dialogue and starting the conversation on it is a good way to go about doing that. So thank you to Tyson, and go support him this weekend. What I wanted to get into to start today's episode is what the New York Jets need to do the rest of the way. So they're hosting Mike Williams today. So wide receiver is something that they should look to address. And that's kind of an obvious one. So while, sure, wide receiver is going to make this list, and Mike Williams very well can sign at some point this week, there are other things left for the New York Jets to do. And that's what I really wanted to focus on today. That's what I wanted to take a look at. And because, you know, offensive line and wide receiver were the two biggest things that Jets fans wanted to see. But now, I think there's really two names that jump out to me as things that I would like to see the Jets do in this second, third tier wave of free agency, not necessarily saying, oh, break the bank and pay big money to the, no, but veterans who can help your team and help fill roles on this team on a 53-man roster. So we will start with someone else who is going to be meeting with the Jets this week, and that is Jadeveon Clowney. He is someone who is coming off a really good year in Baltimore in his one season with the Ravens. He had 9.5 sacks this past year, and arguably at his age 30 season, had the best statistical season of his career. Now, he's someone who was a number one overall pick in 2014 and probably never lived up to the, you know, the ultimate like ceiling of a guy who was, you know, taken number one overall. Like Jadeveon Clowney is not going to get, you know, confused as a superstar, but that doesn't mean that he's not a solid player and a good player in this league. Jadeveon Clowney is not a bust and, you know, not out of the league after a couple of years. He is a very productive defensive player and a really good one at that. 9.5 sacks. But the really key thing about him and something he's done all the way throughout his career, going back to his early days with the Houston Texans, when he wasn't necessarily putting up those monster sack numbers, he is one of the best run defending edges in the NFL. And I think that kind of fits with what the Jets need right now. And Jadeveon Clowney has been a name that I feel like we've talked about on this channel in the past, in years gone by. And in past situations, specifically, you know, pre-Robert Saleh getting here in 2021, the Jets didn't have those pass rushing edges. And I didn't think Jadeveon Clowney really fit that bill for the Jets. So I didn't like the idea a few years ago of paying him and, you know, or trading for him or paying him and giving him pretty big money back in, like, I don't know, when was he first available? Probably 2019, 20, in that range. But at this point in his career, and with what the Jets need, I think you could make the case that Jadeveon Clowney would be good on a one-year deal in that, I don't know, what do you think he gets? An $8 million, maybe up to $10 million on a one-year deal? And a four-man rotation at edge, because let's be honest, they need four guys, which is, you know, one of the reasons why we talked so much about Bryce Huff here. Going from that to adding a Jadeveon Clowney, John Franklin Myers, Will McDonald, and Jermaine Johnson as your four guys, that's a pretty nice group of pass rushers and just a different kind of skill sets there. Like Will McDonald is the more pure pass rusher. He's going to use his spin move. He's going to be, you know, more of the finesse guy, where Jermaine Johnson, he just has a great motor. He's good on early downs against the run. And he's, you know, obviously a productive player as he took a, you know, a nice year two leap with the New York Jets in 2023. But with JFM and Clowney as your edge rushers on first and second down, like NFL teams are going to have a really, really hard time running on that defense. And then add Jermaine Johnson into the mix. And one of the things about this New York Jets defense last season that you could maybe be critical of was at times they struggled against the run, not to the point where they were a bad defense or an overrated defense. Some, you know, we took calls on that saying the Jets defense were overrated, or got comments on it saying it was an overrated unit. It's not. It's still one of the best in football. But if you were to find an area of weakness where, again, they could exploit, other teams could exploit, or there were some games where it was an issue, it was the run defense. And Clowney, that's his strength. And pairing him with John Franklin Myers as an edge rush duo on early downs, and then again mixing in Jermaine Johnson, like that's exciting to me. And then Will McDonald really takes that third down pass rusher role, playing 35-40% of the snaps, and he's, you know, getting in good situations where it's second and long, third and long, because the run defense did a really good job on early downs. Well, hey, now you got something here. And we talked about a bunch already. Will McDonald has big shoes to fill with the departure of Bryce Huff. But that would be a way that I think you could go about replacing Bryce. And not that Clowney is your Bryce Huff one-for-one swap. But it's kind of just rounding out your room. And McDonald is your pure pass rusher who's in the third and four, you know, third and long, second and long situations. And Clowney is more your early down guy as well. So I think that really makes the room a little bit deeper there. I know we're probably tired about talking about defensive pieces and we want to focus on the offense. And, you know, I totally get that. But I think filling out that last spot at edge might be wise. Now, the second one is definitely, I know for a fact it's going to surprise some people, but allow me to talk through it because I think I could convince you if you're not going to buy into this. So normally, and in most cases, I am not someone who likes to pay big money to a running back whose best years are behind them, right? Like the Dalvin Cook situation last year, I wasn't a fan of, and I just don't think that's the wisest way to go. But this next guy, while he is definitely on the back nine of his career, is going to come at an extremely cheap cost, and I think fills a hole that the Jets don't have in their running back room, and that's Ezekiel Elliott. Now, again, like I said, I'm not saying, one, don't expect to see 2017, 2018, 19 version of Ezekiel Elliott. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm also saying, you know, not saying pay him, you know, $8+ million and give him multiple years. I'm talking 1 year cheap, $2-3 million at the most. And the reason why I think he would be good for the Jets is, well, yeah, his stats weren't really eye-popping last year, 184 carries, 642 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's good at 2 things that the rest of this running back room isn't really all that great at. And number one is pass protection. Last year, the New York Jets could not get Izzy Abanikanda on the field because he couldn't pass protect. Meanwhile, they were tossing Dalvin Cook out there in obvious passing situations, and he was getting abused as a pass protector. Ezekiel Elliott, even in his late stage of his career, is a very, very good pass protector, and he's still a good short yardage back. The Jets don't really have that short yardage running back. They have, you know, Breece Hall's the do-it-all guy. And then Izzy Abanikanda is really like, I look at him as more of a third down explosive back, like Leon Washington in his prime, like that kind of guy. He's not someone who's, you know, going to be, hey, it's third and one, go tough this one out for him. No, that's not what he is. He's going to use his speed. He's a home run hitter, can make a big play happen kind of thing. But do the Jets have that guy on the roster right now? And are any of the other options available in free agency guys who would fit that bill? I don't think so. I kind of like the Ezekiel Elliott in that role, being the vet. And again, like, I'm not saying you got to even run him 184 times like the New England Patriots did last year. I'm talking about it's very situational use in where you need a pass protecting back, where you need, I don't know, 2-3 carries a game in short yardage spots. It's going to be a mix of Ezekiel Elliott in this instance and Izzy Abanikanda spelling Breece Hall. It's not Ezekiel Elliott coming in and going to carry the workload early on in the season because Breece is off the ACL. No, we're another year removed from that injury. Breece is going to be the lead back. I'm excited to watch him this year. I think if he's healthy and the offensive line stays relatively healthy this season, he should, without question, be pushing 2,000 yards. And I don't say that lightly, in all-purpose yards. But again, I think Elliott would really fill a hole on this Jets roster that they don't really have someone who could fill. So those are two guys to me that I think would make a lot of sense in things that the Jets could do next in free agency. The next thing I wanted to do was talk about something we've brought up before, but it came up again as Albert Breer had a report saying that the Rams could be interested in Zach Wilson, especially after they already went out there and signed Jimmy G. So Matthew Stafford is the Rams starting quarterback. Obviously, he had a great, great bounce back season. He was healthy last year in 2023. Rams make the playoffs. Jimmy G gets cut. He's going to be the backup. And, you know, Jimmy G on a relatively cheap deal as a backup isn't a bad thought. But apparently the Rams are into it. And the thing that I push back on and that I don't get is, why would Zach Wilson want to go there with Mike LaFleur again? It didn't work here the first time. And Jet fans, probably wrongly to a degree, blamed Mike LaFleur for that, for his lack of development with Zach Wilson. But Mike LaFleur is a little bit of more on like the hard ass coaching. He's not so much of like going to wrap my arm around and give you a hug. That's why he seemed to butt heads a little bit with a guy like Elijah Moore, and he butted heads with Zach Wilson, and it wasn't working out. And that's why the Jets pivoted this year and tried to give him all the confidence in the world, boost him up. And unfortunately, that didn't work either. So I don't know what kind of coaching Zach Wilson's going to be able to respond to at the NFL level. But I don't get them. I don't get the Rams link. I really don't. And unfortunately for the Jets, after Justin Fields gets traded to the Steelers, you know, Josh Dobbs signs with the 49ers, and you're looking around the league and you're going, I don't know where Zach Wilson's going to end up here. Where is Zach going to end up? And the twerking on Twitter for this guy, yeah, I'll say it. The twerking on Twitter for this guy after year three, after everything that happened, is just so bizarre to me. It really is. And I wanted the, I can't even count how many times that I've said this, but I wanted the New York Jets to draft Zach Wilson in 2021. I was happy when they made that selection. I was giving him the benefit of the doubt. His first year, it didn't go very well. He came back from the injury. I thought looked okay down the stretch. Said, all right, go into year two. Let's see if he could take that step. And he didn't. And he got benched for Mike White. You know, we saw the offense have success with Josh Johnson at times, Mike White, Joe Flacco, and Zach Wilson never had that same level of success that the other quarterbacks had with Mike LaFleur. And then this year, they think lowly enough, I guess, on Zach that they are going to go out and trade for Aaron Rodgers, which all good. But then he gets plopped right back in to the starting spot four plays into your season because Aaron Rodgers gets hurt, and it feels like you relive the 2022 season all over again. But after 3 years, for this to still be this narrative that the Jets are giving up on Zach Wilson is crazy. It's crazy. If you said, I had people 6 starts into Zach Wilson's career telling me the guy couldn't play. I was like, all right, can we pump the brakes on that? So the reason why I'm spelling it out that way is I think I've done my best to be as fair as I possibly could be with Zach Wilson. I really have. I wanted to give him the 2-year look. And after the 2-year look, the Jets rightly decided, hey, we gotta go a different direction and add somebody else. And not like there's still people out there who's tweeting like, well, like if you take out the fumbles and the interceptions and the bounce screens and you just rattle off like 7 things and then show like the 5 highlight plays that Zach Wilson made last year, it's like you got a good quarterback here. And I was like, that's not the point. You're missing the point again. It's not that he doesn't have those flashes. It's that they're few and far between and that there's something very wrong where it's just not clicking. It's just not working. There's no reason to keep him around on this roster. It's just something that you need to split ties with and say, all right, you're going to go your separate way. We're going to go our separate way. And I know that there's still money owed, right? It's kind of like if you're in a toxic relationship where it's just not working out, but you already had a trip booked and you're like, well, let's take the trip together anyway, even though we can't stand each other and it's, you know, some sort of horrible relationship. We're going to run it back and go on this trip because we already paid for it. No, dude, cut your losses and go out with the boys and have a few drinks at the bar and like don't worry about that trip. Like that's money spent. It's gone. You took your chance. You thought it maybe could work. Hasn't worked. Better for both sides to move on. And that's how I feel about Zach Wilson. Have you ever Googled yourself and were shocked to see your personal information exposed on one of those public listing sites? Data brokers are making a fortune selling your information to robocalls, spammers, and others who want to learn more about you, like where you live. As a public figure, this type of stuff is an absolute nightmare for me. Private information should remain that. Private. This is why I'm pumped to tell you about our new sponsor, Aura. Aura can identify data brokers exposing your information and submit opt-out requests on your behalf. Brokers are legally required to remove your info if you ask them to, but they make it super hard to do it. Let Aura handle that for you. You can try Aura for free for 2 weeks using my link, aura.com/Matt O'Leary. Aura also does so much more to protect you and your family from online threats you can't see. It's really easy to set up, so you don't have to download several different apps to get things like parental controls, antivirus, VPN, password management, identity theft insurance, and more. You get everything at one affordable price. Let Aura do the hard work of keeping you safe online so you can focus on other tasks with peace of mind. Once again, start your 2-week free trial by using my link and going to aura.com/Matt O'Leary. The link is also in the description for this video, so make sure to check it out. Last thing before we get into the voicemails, I want to talk about why Jet fans, I think, are some of the best fans in the NFL. Number one, they are incredibly loyal. Jet fans have not seen a playoff team since the 2010 season. I was 15 years old. I was in 10th grade the last time the Jets made the playoffs. I am 28 years old. I graduated high school. I graduated college. I've had multiple different jobs and career paths in between the New York Jets last time making the playoffs. A lot has changed in the last 13 years of my life, and I'm sure you could say the same thing at home listening to this. Things have been really, really tough, yet they are still fans, no matter what, who are going to watch, show up, cheer for, buy merch, the whole thing. And maybe the best example of this was NYJ Matt on Twitter. One, if you're not following him, you're making an absolute mistake. One of the most entertaining guys on the internet, in the Jet space, just so, so funny. And he is not escaping that the allegations that it's actually him who runs the New York Jets account, especially after this last one. So Mike Williams, we talked about him at the top of the show, visiting the New York Jets this week, and Matt wanted to send him a Taylor Ham egg and cheese. So he orders or DoorDashes one to the Jets facilities. And then the Jets confirm that they got it. So a Taylor Ham egg and cheese apparently, I don't know, I've never had one. I'm from Long Island and I'm a celiac, so I can't even eat that anyway. But that's apparently like the bacon, egg and cheese version for Jersey. And then some of New Jersey calls it Taylor Ham. Some calls it pork roll. I don't give a shit what you call it. I'm from Long Island. I'm never going to have one. Never had one. But anyway, it was delivered. And then the story goes viral. The New York Post writes an article about it. Then you have it on ESPN. So, so good. It doesn't end there, though, because optimistic Jet fan, who was the one you may remember, was in the bushes when Robert Saleh made his appearance when he arrived at the facility late in 2021 to interview or meet with the New York Jets. Same guy was back in the bushes again looking for Mike Williams today to get the confirmation. Just an incredible, incredible fan base with just insane amount of passion. These are the same people who tracked the Woody Johnson plane when he was going out to meet with Aaron Rodgers last year around this time. So really just, you got to tip your cap to this fan base, man. In order to be that passionate and that loyal about a team that's been about as bad as it gets over the last 10, 15 years is crazy. It's crazy. They don't deserve the love that we give them. They don't. And I hope this year they reciprocate our love with the playoff appearance. That would be the best way to, I don't know, get us revitalized and really get it into it. But just shout out NYJ Matt. Shout out optimistic Jet fans. Just truly a tremendous group. And yes, sometimes Jet fans get into it online. And yes, Jets Twitter and the comment sections of the whole thing could be very frustrating at times with the debates and the fights and the arguments. And at times it can be toxic. But I think the moments like this far outweigh the negative sides of the community. So I'm thankful for this Jets community. Anyway, let's get into your voicemails. First up, we're going to go to Show 57 wants to talk about a trade up. All right, let's do it.
Matt A, it's Show 57.
What's up,
from
man?
Queens. Show 5. It's been a long time since we spoke, since my F. Sean Payton rant.
It was a good one.
I'm a little more calm since then, but my sentiments have not changed. Listen, real quick, everybody's pissed at Aaron Rodgers over this VP nonsense, as am I, but why is Robert F. Kennedy off the hook? Like, if you're running for president, brother, I could tell you a whole bunch of people that you're not getting the vote for from, you know, pulling off this BS in the middle of free agency before a draft. But anyway, real quick, I want your opinion. If Joe Alt happens to be there at, let's say first three picks are going quarterback, right? And let Cardinals go Marvin Harrison, and maybe, just maybe, the Chargers are okay with Slater. They decide to go Brock Bowers or even Neighbors, and Joe Alt is there at 6. How willing do you think the Giants and the Jets would be to deal that 6 pick? Because in my opinion, I think if the Giants want to go J.J. McCarthy, I think he's still going to be there at 10, assuming, you know, the Titans and Falcons and the Bears definitely probably won't go quarterback. I don't think Joe Alt gets past the Titans at all, so I would be willing to deal that 6 pick. I'm not even super opposed to dealing that 10th for the 6 pick if Neighbors is still in. But I want your opinion. Am I crazy? You won't be the first one to call me that. Good to talk to you, Matt. Peace.
I love it. That was a good voicemail. Thanks for calling in and checking in with us. So I don't think you're crazy in that the Jets should get aggressive to move up for someone in the draft if that's what they want to do. For instance, obviously this call was made before the mock draft came out from Daniel Jeremiah earlier this week, where he had the Jets trading up to pick number 5 to draft Marvin Harrison. So let's talk through the two scenarios and the one that you laid out specifically. I think if the Jets were to trade up, I don't think it would be with 6 to the Giants. I think the Giants want to move up, but I don't think they're going to be able to. And the reason being, the Minnesota Vikings have a ton of ammunition now to get up. They acquired another first round pick, so they got pick 11 and pick number 23. They are a team, that supposedly is really in on trying to trade up for J.J. McCarthy. And right now, the buzz is, again, a little over a month out, but J.J. McCarthy might not make it to 6. He might not make it to 10, as you were describing. Now, I'm not saying, like, I wouldn't take J.J. McCarthy in the top 10. I don't really like him like that. But a lot of people are having 4 quarterbacks come off the board right in a row. Right in a row with Arizona trading out. So if those 4 quarter, like, let's play the game that way. If the 4 quarterbacks come off the board, we'll say Marvin Harrison goes off the board at 5 to the Chargers. Would the Jets be able to trade up with the Giants at 6 and either take Neighbors or Joe Alt? I don't think so. I don't think the Giants want to trade out. I think they would just take Neighbors in that spot. So it's a fun exercise to think through. And that's not the problem, but one of the layers that I think we have to take into account when looking at either trade up or trade down scenarios is you need 2 teams to make it work, or both sides to make it work. Like, it's easy to say if the board falls that way, oh, just trade up to 6. Well, hold on. Like, that team might want to stay and pick someone there. And for the Giants in particular, I think they would stay and take Neighbors if that's how the board fell. And then unfortunately, we know Joe Walt probably goes off the board right there at pick number 7. But what if things get nuts? What if the Titans, who have one of the best offensive line coaches of all time, they go, I want to bet on the ceiling of Olufashanu instead. And I'm convinced that our guy, Brian Callahan, is going to be able to get the most out of him. And then Joe Alt gets to 8, and he's available at 8. If that's the case, Joe Douglas got to get calling. He's got to call Atlanta right there. I think that might be your more likely scenario. Last one, just 2 calls today. PG from Long Island wants to talk about a few things, mostly shoring up the offensive line.
Hello, Matt O'Leary. PG from Long Island here. A few things. Number one, evidently we are looking for an edge rusher. Yeah. Well, again, one of the most horrible things listening to Joe Douglas has done is not getting Bryce Huff re-signed, extended. He could have done that probably 2 years ago, a year ago, whatever it is, but horrible. But now it's in the rear view mirror and it's done, and I promise I'm going to bring it up again. Second thing is, speaking to Joe Douglas, I'm calling you here Sunday night. He has Mike Williams coming in tomorrow. We'll see how that goes, and maybe we'll know by Wednesday when this airs. But in any case, I said last week that I think he needs to get the offensive line set prior to the draft so that they can have flexibility and options at the number 10 pick, not be pigeonholed into an offensive tackle. And he's done that. And he's done that better than I would have thought, in the way that ADT is now a guard, which is probably what he is best suited for. So I've been critical of him, Joe Douglas, for good reason, but he's getting my confidence back a little bit. He's done a very good job this year. And kudos to him for that job. Now, last thing I'm going to say is,
okay,
I have a trade proposal. Why don't we package Zach Wilson and Alan Lazard for a 2030, pay half their salaries, and then 2030 seventh round pick. I think that would be beneficial for all of us. But anyway, as always, Matt, get your thoughts on that, and go Jets.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling in, PG, on this one. Unfortunately, just had a couple other calls that were unfortunately dated with some of the signings and stuff that were made. But for back to a PG, hilarious, the 2037th round pick. Oh God. Yeah. No one's taking those contracts, I don't think, unfortunately. The thing that I am excited about going into the draft is that the Jets have options in the first round, and I've tweeted it a few times, but I think you can make a strong case for four things happening for the Jets, and any of the four being okay. Number one is taking a wide receiver at pick number 10. The other is taking Brock Bowers at pick number 10, taking an offensive lineman, or trading down number four and doing any of the three things that I just listed off, and also getting a second round pick in the process. Any of those four things, it's really hard to screw that up, because you could justify it, and I'll make the case. I'll justify each one. Number one, the trade back. They don't have a second round pick. You move down the board, gain a second round pick, allows you to take a swing at a wide receiver and an offensive lineman, probably in the top 50. Drafting a wide receiver. Right now, it's Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard, Xavier Gibson, and Jason Brownlee. Maybe Mike Williams gets added, but even if Mike Williams gets added, he is coming off a season where he tore his ACL last year, so there's risk involved. Taking Brock Bowers, special weapon. Don't look at him as just a tight end. Special weapon. Could line him up at inline tight end, in the slot, in the backfield, out wide. Can do a whole lot of different things for you in an offense. Would be an exciting chess piece to move around your offense. And then taking offensive linemen, the Jets don't have a tackle on the roster for 2025 who could start. I shouldn't say that. Maybe Carter Warren or Max Mitchell. LOL, Max Mitchell. I think Carter Warren has the better shot of developing into being a starter in 2025. But they don't have, moral of the story, they Morgan Moses, who you just acquired, and Tyron Smith, who you just acquired, are not long-term answers on the offensive line. And Tyron Smith misses time every single year. He has not played a full healthy season in 9 years. So your guy, even if you took an offensive lineman in the first round, is going to play. You have a 33-year-old right tackle, and you have a left tackle who misses time every single year. The guy's going to have to come in and play. Maybe you draft someone who has guard flexibility, like either Fontenau or Fuaga or Latham, and if there's an injury on the interior, they could play there. But the chances or the likelihood of all five offensive linemen staying healthy and playing 17 games is absurd for any team. But then look at the Jets and what they've dealt with over the last 2 years in particular, and it's not going to happen. Now, that's not saying that you can't take a weapon before that reason and you're going to play scared. No, but there's ways where you could justify literally any of those four things and make a pretty good case for it. So that's where I wanted to close off the show. I appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in. Thank you so much. Make sure to subscribe before you go. I am Matt O'Leary, and I'll catch you guys next time.